Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Well, a very good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight. I know many of you are probably watching the presidential debate on CNN right now, so I want to let you know that even as we are doing the show live, I have my computers and television screens, and I, too, have the debate on. But instead of us actually following the debate, we have the opportunity tonight on At Home with Victoria to speak with two young people that I am so thoroughly impressed with that's going to join us to talk about a youth initiative program. And also we have the pleasure of welcoming Sarah Hillware. Sarah is the new Miss District of Columbia. Sarah, I'm so happy that you're here with us tonight, and congratulations.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you. I'm so honored to be on the show tonight.
Listen, I was so excited for you because I follow you on Facebook, and I don't know how we became friends on Facebook, but one thing that I do love about you is that you and sort of the group of folks that you hang around with, and I know you're a student at George Washington University, all of
That's
you
correct.
Are doing just such wonderful things, and I think at such a young age, really trying to make a difference in the world. Was that spirit like that always in you, even at a very young age and as a teenager?
You know what? I always said to myself, I have to make my life into something that's worth living. I have to live for others. So I've always wanted to do things along the lines of humanitarian work, service work. You know, at a very young age, I was exposed to a lot of things that a lot of people my age weren't exposed to. I experienced some, you know, poverty growing up, domestic violence. I've experienced those things, which in turn, you know, once I was able to get out of those situations, then I said to myself, I have to do something. I have to make sure that I live my life to make sure that things are better for people who come mm-hmm. after me.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is absolutely wonderful, and also just what a very, very good insight that you, as a young woman, was able to see that, you know, I need to do things better. You know, I want to make the world a better place for other people. And I always find to believe that once you, you know, decide to make those decisions and live your life that way, I just think wonderful things start to happen to you because you're always around positive people. There are always people out there who are willing to help you. Wouldn't you agree with that? When you open yourself up to being positive, then that good things just happen.
Oh, my goodness. I think you completely get back everything that you put into the world. I think if you put into the world your passion, your community service, your energy, then that's exactly what you get back. And those who think otherwise just have not, I feel that they have not put their full energy into living their lives in the best way possible.
Yes, I completely agree with you. Again, as we have this conversation, I do want to just acknowledge that the Southern Republican presidential debate is on CNN, so I know a lot of you have that on, and we may talk a little bit about that later on in the show. But also, as I have that on, I am looking at a beautiful picture of Sarah. This looks like a picture that was taken, maybe it's the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. That's what it looks like to me. Did you have your professional picture taken there?
Yes, I did. And I think that because I'm representing the District of Columbia, it's really important to sort of show the culture of Washington, D.C. So I did have photos taken at the Jefferson Memorial, some at the Lincoln Memorial, and some at also the National Mall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is absolutely wonderful. And I was, of course, doing a little bit of research and reading a little bit about you, of course, before you came on the show, mainly this afternoon before I went to my Zumba class, and I do feel refreshed, I must say, from that. But what was interesting about you and, you know, the whole pageant world was that this was kind of something that was sort of new to you. I mean, you didn't sort of grow up doing pageants at all.
Oh, yeah. This is extremely new to me. I was first exposed to pageantry when I entered the Miss Freshman pageant at the George Washington University. It was a fundraiser pageant, and Miss DC USA 2009 actually was one of the people who helped put it together. And after that, I just started researching pageants, and it just so happened that one of the directors of a Miss America preliminary, I actually met her on Facebook by accident, and I realized what she was affiliated with, and she asked me if I would apply. And it just happened that sort of fell into my lap after that. And, you know, I did that pageant. I had a lot of fun with it. I didn't win. And I just went on to do another one, and I won. I was appointed the title of America's Miss DC 2012 after only 2 years of pageant experience, whereas a lot of people have competed since they were very young or since they were teenagers. You know, I hadn't had that experience, but I think that just using pageants as an outlet to do community service has really kept me motivated and has really given me a reason to compete. Otherwise, I wouldn't be competing.
Yeah, and that was something in the course of reading about you, I found that was very interesting. And you certainly know with being in that world of pageants, there is also negative stereotypes of pageants and people within that world that we see on television. So I'm always excited about, you know, when I do see people like yourself and follow you on Facebook, then I can tell that you are legit, you are the real deal. I mean, you do a tremendous amount of charity work in D.C. even before this entire pageant thing sort of fell into your lap and was thrown upon you. So, again, for that, you know, again, I certainly give you kudos. So getting back to winning Miss District of Columbia, what was that moment like when you found out that you won?
Well, I feel as if when you put your energy into something and you know exactly why you want something, then it's really impossible to have a negative feeling either way. You know, if I had won or if I had lost, I still would have known, you know, exactly what I wanted to get out of it and exactly what I would do, you know, whether or not I was appointed a title. And when I did win, I was already thinking about, well, how can I best use this title to further my cause? What can I do to make sure that I'm the best Miss DC? I don't just want to be any other pageant young lady with a title, but I want to be someone who serves as a role model. And immediately when I had that crown, I realized that I'm not just representing myself anymore. I'm representing young women in the District of Columbia. I'm representing young women who are 18 through 24. I'm representing the Washington, D.C. area. I'm representing those who, I grew up with. I'm representing my family. And I immediately, when I had on the crown, I said, there are certain things that I really want to prove. You know, I really want to make sure that I carry myself in the most upright manner possible. So I ultimately felt the greater need and the greater responsibility that comes with being a role model.
Now, talk a little bit about some of the some of your charity work that you have done. And I know just in a few minutes, Joseph Gibson, who is the founder of the United States Youth Delegate Initiative, is going to join us. And I know that you are heavily involved with that organization, which originally was the reason why you asked me to come on. I want everybody to know it didn't have anything to do with Sarah winning the District of Columbia and the pageant. She had contacted me earlier and asked if she could come on the show so that the two of them can talk about that. But it just so happened that thereafter she won the title, and she is here with us tonight. So talk a little bit about some of the charity work that you are involved in and things that you want to do as a result of this title.
Yeah, so my platform is called Knowledge is Power, Empowering People to Be Their Own Best Health Advocates. And that really came from, I've always wanted to be a physician. I've always wanted to be a doctor. And I realized that with medicine and with public health, there are a lot of things that are preventable that can be fixed. And it's not only because, you know, we don't have this problem only because people don't have the resources, but a lot of times because people don't have the knowledge to get the resources. So I actually did a program called Health Leads, which is an organization that actually places student volunteers in Children's National Medical Center waiting rooms to provide information on different social services in the area. And that greatly improves public health outcomes when people are knowledgeable about what is out there for them, whether or not it's health-related or, you know, whether or not it is related to transportation issues or issues with someone paying their rent or with having an education or with being unemployed. All of those things are ultimately connected to having one, you know, be a healthy person and living a better life. So that, to me, you know, just having that experience in Children's National Medical Center and seeing people every day, you know, young mothers with their children, seeing you know, fathers, you know, trying to be the best that they could, but they weren't really able to do all that they could do just because there are so many things in the day-to-day that prevent people from really taking care of what they need to take care of. And I believe that those problems stem from not knowing everything that's out there. So in my platform, what I really want to do is empower people through education. That's the essential, that's the baseline. Empower people through education, empower people to make healthy choices, but also empower people to learn more about their own health and empower people to learn more about the other resources that are out there for them with regard to bettering themselves through GED programs or through job training programs or through, you know, there are so many things that come along with being healthy and being empowered. And I really, the platform that I have, I really did make it broad on purpose so that I wouldn't limit myself to only one thing. And that actually brings me to one piece of exciting news that I heard today. And the executive director of, believe it is, the Sudan Sunrise Foundation contacted me today and asked me if I would help him and help the organization with the school lunches program. So the school lunches program is a project that they're doing in which they're building schools, 41 schools throughout southern Sudan, and they're providing nutritional lunches because this is the only nutritional meals that, you know, that the children will get all day because they're chronically hungry, they're acutely malnourished, they're also you know, stunted and wasted, and having these school lunches be nutritious and educating the students on what types of food that they should eat and you know, why it is that they're feeling hungry. And, you know, I mean, there are just so many things that come along with health that really relate to development and really relate to the community. And I'm really involved with just being an advocate and making sure that people know their options. Another thing I'm involved with is the Tiger Lily Foundation, and that's a foundation that educates women before and helps women during and facilitates with recovery after breast cancer. And with that organization...
Sarah, let me just interrupt you for a second. There's a lot of thoughts that I want to get in. We do also have people that have some questions. First of all, getting back to your platform where you talked about health, it was just 2 days ago that I posted on my wall the Centers for Disease Control came out with their new report that said, and I think basically all of us know this, that basically the obesity level among Americans is at an all-time high, period.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, adults, you know, they're also talking about teenagers as well, and seeing many teenagers who have type 2 diabetes and issues that they're seeing teenagers have that generally adults are having, but they're really starting to see that, the pediatricians are starting to see that.
Yeah.
So I personally think that is something that certainly needs to be tackled, and you're right. I mean, if you are healthy and you learn more about health and learn more about your body and what you can do to be healthy, that in itself, you know, can really take you to a whole nother level and empowering people. And that's something that we do on our show constantly at Home with Victoria. Michael Kay and I, we're always talking about fitness. We're always talking about health. I'm personally surrounded by it. My significant other is a surgeon, is a doctor, so I live with medical information and that stuff all the time. But I just wanted to say that that's wonderful that you're going to tackle that issue. And the second part of that, when you talked about Tiger Lily, I'm thinking perhaps that's where you and I met, because I'm an ambassador for the Tiger Lily Foundation.
I actually know where we met. We actually met at a fashion show that was all about, it was called The Art of a Woman, and it was all about empowering women. And
yes, I remember.
That was the first time I met you. And it's interesting because I'm also being trained to be a spokesperson for the Tiger Lily Foundation, because I actually found out a few weeks ago before I got my title that I have the gene for breast cancer in my family. My aunt had breast cancer. She's about 60 years old right now. She had breast cancer twice. And I have a cousin who's in her 20s who just got a precancerous group of cells removed through mastectomy. So it's really important for me to make sure that especially women are aware of everything that they can do to keep themselves healthy and make sure that they're preventing everything that is preventable with this disease.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I do want to take one moment just to acknowledge we have a lot of guests that are listening to the show tonight inside the chat room. I want to thank all of you for being there. I want to thank entertainment co-host Michael Kay for being with us tonight, and also our chat room producer, Mar. Her real name is Marilyn Bennett, but she is with us live from Tennessee tonight. So I want to thank everyone who is visiting us inside the chat room. Also, I constantly get a stream of emails that come in as the show is live, and I do like to take a few of the emails. This is an email from a young lady from New Jersey. She says, congratulations on winning Miss District of Columbia. And she says that she is into pageants, and she's completely into the pageant world, and she wants to know, after Miss District of Columbia, I guess, what is the next step for you in terms of the pageantry? So will you go on to, you know, compete, or is this kind of it for you, or is it too soon to make that decision?
So when you win a local title and when you win a state title, you actually are mandated to go to the next level, or else you lose your crown. And I think it's wonderful that you're into pageantry, and I really wish you luck on your journey, and I hope that you continue with it, because with my journey in pageantry, I learned a lot of public speaking skills. I learned to articulate my ideas in a, you know, much better way. I learned how to present myself in a boardroom, but also be able to perform on stage, and it just really helped with my personal development. So I want to wish you luck on all your, you know, in all your endeavors. But so I actually will go on to compete in July in the national pageant, which is the America's Miss National Pageant 2012, and it's a week long. So interview is 40%, and then my evening gown and my red carpet and my fitness they're all 20% respectively. But it's really interesting because a lot of people think that when you win a state title, that's it. You know, you just sort of win it and you have the option to go on. Mm-hmm. And that was actually the notion that I had back when I was new to pageantry. And I actually am mandated to go to the national level, but you know, it's a really interesting thing, and I really hope that you do continue with it. So thank you for your question.
And you know what? I want to move the conversation along a little bit because Joseph Gibson has been so patient, and he has been waiting on the line to join the conversation. Joseph is the founder of the United States Youth Delegate Initiative. Sarah, I'm going to let you tell us, you know, just quickly a little bit about Joseph and how you met him, and then we'll bring him on to talk about that initiative. So what's the connection between the two of you?
So we're both students at the George Washington University, and Joseph started the Youth Delegate Initiative a few years back before he actually opened it up to become a larger group. And I got an email through my Elliott School of International Affairs listserv that said there's an opportunity to advocate for the youth representation at the United Nations. And there was a date, and I called in and I said, you know, I would like to interview to become part of this organization, and I would really like to sit down and see what it's all about. So I did, and I was there, and Joseph was interviewing, and you know, it just went along from there. So he really works hard. He's really an excellent leader, and I believe that you know, we have the momentum and we have the passion to get this ball, you know, ball in the
rolling.
Yeah. So.
Well, with that said, let's see if we can bring Joseph on the line. Joseph, are you here with us?
I'm here, and I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. So I think Sarah kind of summed up sort of well, you know, the connection between the two of you. And you are the founder and the president of the United States Youth Delegate Initiative. Tell us a little bit about that and how that got started.
So the United States Youth Delegate Initiative, as Sarah mentioned earlier, it really has a very simple primary goal, and that's to create the youth delegate position to the United Nations in the United States mission. So we basically want a youth representative that represents the United States to the rest of the world. I think actually Sarah used the word empower several times regarding her charity work, and I think that that word perfectly embodies our mission with USYDI. We want to empower young people to have a voice nationally, but especially internationally at the United Nations General Assembly. So that's a very simple goal for the USYDI.
So one of your primary goals is that, you know, are you interested in trying to take this to what level and where are you trying to go with it? And what are some of the things that you're trying to do with it?
Well, the simple level of creating this position involves not only the United States State Department, but as well as the presidential administration, the Obama administration right now, as well as Congress. And actually, Sarah was brought on originally, and what she applied for was a position where we needed lobbyists, we needed government specialists to work on Capitol Hill. So it involves a lot of different very high-level groups. The USYDI also has to coordinate hundreds of NGOs and other nonprofit organizations and youth-related organizations around the globe, as well as all of our supporters in government. So it's really just trying to rally people around the specific cause. So the level is extremely high, and we are students, as Sarah said, so we're constantly learning and moving forward, but it's a really exciting place to work.
Right. And along with that, if you just let me add briefly, is that when it comes to youth actually do have, based on, you know, research that we've done as a group, a whole set of issues that are best handled when there is a person who is from that group representing us at a national level, and at an international level. And, you know, some people say, well, don't you have a congressman and a senator to represent you already? And don't you already have an ambassador to the United Nations? And, yes, while that's true, it is something that, you know, Australia has a youth delegate to the United Nations, and a few other, Norway has one, you know, and why they have one is because the youth have a very unique voice. You know, we are Generation X, we're Generation Y, and we're the generation that is the most in touch with the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what do you think the process will be, or what kind of support do you guys need to try to make this possible, you know, so that you're able to be able to make that connection with the UN?
Well, currently we're actually working directly with the United States Department of State, and they're our primary contact because that's where a United States youth delegate would reside and report to, so all the way up to Secretary Clinton and then to President Obama. So our primary focus as far as who we're trying to convince here and who we're trying to work with really falls into the U.S. State Department. But once again, to get a government agency to work on something like this, you really do need the support of Congress and of the general public, which is why it's so important that we have people like Sarah that are out all over the world and all over the country that are promoting this and bringing people on board and really involving them and empowering them. So definitely our work revolves around working with the U.S. State Department to get the position created and then to fill it and support it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a question that we have, and this is a very good question because as the both of you were speaking, I, as a journalist, was actually thinking the exact same thing. So let's say, for example, you are able to secure that position with the United Nations. So what happens, I mean, will there be term limits so that, for example, will Joseph and Sarah, when they reach a certain age, you've got to sort of leave the program and then you bring younger people or students in? How will that work?
So our process, we've laid this out very clearly with State Department. the key, what this revolves around, is an open and democratic process with very clear term limits. So our proposal with State Department and with Congress is that there's actually two youth delegates at a time. So there's one person using two-year terms that they kind of expire on odd years. So there's always one person who has more experience, the senior delegate, and then one young person who has no experience. So the term limits are very important that they keep rotating like that, so 2 years maximum. The UN does define people 25 and under as youth. Some youth delegates, however, are between the ages of 25 and 30, so we're a little more open with that. But the youth delegate has to be a young person, a member of the United States community, involved with international affairs. And the biggest part that we have is that it is an open process where any American young person can apply to this. So a lot of what we do is planning. So if we do get this done, obviously, who's going to vet all these applications and who's going to go through this process? And the USYDI stands ready to work on that because we want this to be open to every single American young person who wants to be involved on the international stage and feels that they can represent their peers to the rest of the world.
Well, I am sitting here right now looking at your website, which is www.usydi.org. Also, we have that information inside the chat room. Our chat room producer, Marilyn Bennett, is posting like crazy. Her fingers move so fast. She does such a good job. And also, you can find that information on my show page as well. So I encourage everyone to, you know, just take a couple of seconds to go to the website and take a look at it. Very impressive website, Joseph and Sarah, I must say. I haven't had the chance to read all of it, but it's certainly, I like how it's very, very simplified in the fact that you have about us, the mission, and the delegate. So those are, you know, kind of right up there at the front answer key questions. I'm very happy to see, in fact, as I look here, the link to Facebook, one of my very good friends who I had no idea knew anything or was involved with this. Robert Green is my former producer when I worked at WMAR in Baltimore. So when we're done, I'll have to email him and say, hey, you know, I see you're supporting this, and to let him know that both of you were on the show tonight. So Sarah or Joseph, you want to expound a little bit on the website? And I know that there's information on there how you can support you guys, how you can contact you guys, or anything else you want to mention about the website?
Go for it, Joe.
So the website is, as you said, very simple. We wanted to keep it not too cluttered, just have some simple information on a few key things. First, we want to inform people about what our initiative is. You can read our full proposal. We want to start right from the beginning to say that everybody can see this process, what we're doing. We want to make it very clear. We're documenting everything as we go. So that's a big part of the website, is just information on where we are, what we're doing. The other half is for people that want to get involved, which we are always looking for new people. It's very, very vital to us to keep our energy and moving forward and momentum. So someone can get involved in a multitude of different ways. So an individual who's in Washington, D.C., or a young person even around the world, they can even work with us in a variety of fashions. We have hundreds of consultants, which are young people that are interested in what we're doing and want to participate. And we ask them to do an hour or two of work a month in research and giving us opinions and doing their own regional and community research. So we engage people around the world and the United States as well to give us opinions on what their community is experiencing. So we're trying to get that information in, and that's something that young people can do almost instantly. And a couple of other things you can do.
I think what you what all of you are doing is just wonderful. And again, anytime I compare to the two of you, I'm an old fogey, but anytime I have the opportunity to meet and even the opportunity to talk with two young people like yourself who are just making such a difference in the world at a young age, but more importantly, you know, who are going to be our leaders for tomorrow, it's exciting to me, and it's exciting to have both of you on the show. Now, I know you guys are completely computer savvy, so I know you're on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, so folks can follow the Youth Delegate Initiative in those places, Joseph?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sarah, are they able to follow you guys on Facebook and on Twitter?
Yeah, so we do have a Twitter. If you go to your search and type in United States Youth Delegate Initiative, the Twitter page will come up. And you can type in the same thing on Facebook, and our Facebook page will come up. You can go ahead and like us. And I do want to mention also that even though this is an initiative for the youth, that we do need the support of those who do not consider themselves to be youth. So we do need support of those who are over 30, and that's definitely a huge help to us because this is really everyone's cause. So we do want to make that clear as well. And you can follow me on America's Miss DC on Twitter, and on Facebook it's America's with an apostrophe Miss District of Columbia 2012. So thank you so much, Victoria, for reminding us of the internet where people can stay in touch.
Well, thank you so much. And the next time I'm in Washington and you guys have one of your meetings, I would love to stop by and just sort of be a fly on the wall and sit in the back and listen to all of your ideas and to see what it is that you talk about, because I am very interested in what you guys are doing. So, Joseph and Sarah, you've got to promise me that you will keep me in contact. We have shows all the time. I had the opportunity through my job to meet a lot of wonderful people. So if you keep me in contact, you know, I can always tell people about the both of you, the organization, and what you guys are doing. So if there's ever anything that I can do to help you, let me know. And I'm going to go ahead and make the assumption that this is going to happen for you. So when it happens, promise me the both of you will come back on and update our listeners and let them know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Most definitely.
Well, listen, Joseph, thank you so much, and I'll find you on Facebook so we can friend each other and I can keep in touch. I'm already following you guys on Twitter. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on. And Sarah, who just won the title of Miss District of Columbia, I thank you for coming on from the bottom of my heart. You continue to do wonderful work, and I have no doubt, I'm pretty sure I'll see you very soon at some event, charity event in D.C., But until then, God bless, and just thank you, and just keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on. I really appreciate a chance to spread awareness to my various causes, and I thank you all for listening, because that in itself is a form of support.
Oh, and I'm sure everybody, well, I can definitely tell you everyone in the chat room is just crazy about you. We've got a lot of guests and our regular folks in there. And, of course, once they looked at your picture, of course it was all over. They thought, oh, God, she's gorgeous. And, of course, I'm like, of course she's gorgeous. She's Miss District of Columbia. So we will continue to support you as you go forward in the next step of your pageant. And I will continue to follow you on Facebook, and I'm glad that we also connect you through the Tiger Lily Foundation as well. God bless and good night, okay?
All right, same to you. Thank you. Thank you all so much, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much. And everyone, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen. That was Sarah Elizabeth Hillware. Make sure you remember the name. She's the new Miss District of Columbia, and also a friend of hers and also fellow colleague Joseph Gibson, the founder of the United States Youth Delegate Initiative, was on with us tonight also to talk about what they are trying to do to become a part of the United Nations. Marilyn Bennett has put their website information inside the chat room, and also Sarah's information and bio. The links to her are inside the chat room as well. And I know many of you have said this. It's just so wonderful, and I've said this a zillion times tonight, but I think it's worth repeating again to see young people who are doing, you know, wonderful things and who are being of service at such a young age to others already. All too often, of course, we see the reality shows on television, and, you know, I think Michael Kay, Marilyn Bennett, and all of us have had these conversations about reality shows and think, what in the world, you know, are youth happening to them and what's going on in the world? So, you know, we don't always have the opportunities to see shows about what Joseph is doing, shows about what Sarah is doing. So I do think that it's important that at least on At Home with Victoria, we're able to balance out some of
what you see on television to show that there are positive young people out here who are doing incredible and amazing, amazing things. So I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. Michael Kay is in the house. Michael, I don't know if you have time. I do have a few more minutes if you want to call in. I know you put a show into the computer. I saw it briefly today while I was online about Delaware Hospice. That show is going to be coming up on the 31st. So we're basically going to be talking about exactly what hospice is. So I'm looking forward to that. Michael, of course, has a personal story that he will share with many of you on that day. And I do think he said he's going to go ahead and call in because we do have a little bit more time. Also, we have a show that's coming on next week that I'm excited about, a fellow journalist I have the chance to interview. You may have seen him many times on Inside Edition. Les Trent is his name. Les is going to be coming on. He was just inducted into the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So we're going to talk to him and basically see what life is like for him as a journalist. You know, he travels between New York and L.A. He covers, you know, every single story that you can imagine. So it's going to be kind of fun to listen to what Les Trent has to say, because journalism itself, the field, at least since I have been in it, have changed. So I'm interested in seeing what Les Trent is going to have to say. So Les is on next week, and entertainment co-host Michael Kay is on and joining us. Michael, did you just not love Sarah and Joseph? I mean, talk about two incredible young people, right?
Well, I'm telling you, I can't believe how thrilled I am to have a non-Jersey Shore representation of, from the Youth Initiative. Absolutely. And so proud to have both of them on. I think Joseph was his name?
Yes.
Yeah, he's fantastic,
you know,
well-spoken young man. And what a great direction.
Yes, I mean, and you know what, I couldn't, of course, get into it, but, of course, you know, we always invite people back, but I was kind of reading a little bit about Joseph as we were having the conversation, and Joseph, you can tell, and I'm looking at a picture of him right now, he just looks like he is going to be a young person who, you know, in the future, either this kid's going to be like the head of state of something, or either he's going to be like a congressman. Or, you know, it's clear when you read his bio of what he's already done in life and you see him, you know, this kid's really going to go on to some stuff. You can tell.
Oh, absolutely. And an absolute motivator as well. I mean, we may have just talked to the future president. I mean, I'm not kidding.
I know, right?
That's possible.
Yeah, I know. No, I completely agree with you 100%. And you're right. It's so good to have young people like Joseph and Sarah on, because every single day when you turn your television on, you're so bombarded with a lot of crap. And you think, what in the world, you know, is sort of the youth of not even America, but the world coming to, if, you know, if we've got all these Jersey Shores and, you know, I can't name all of them. That the one on the one that really irritates me is all the girls that are real catty with each other.
Oh, yeah, the bad girls on Oxygen. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, I think
yeah,
things like that are falling by the wayside. I really do.
Oh,
I think,
my goodness.
I think you're about to go ahead and have people such as Joseph pioneer the youth for new direction, and I'm so thankful that they're actually taking the time to go ahead and do that and actually contribute positively versus sensationally, which is, it seems to be the
I agree. But switching subjects, of course, we can brag about Joseph and Sarah all night if we had to, but you have finally secured the date for the Delaware Hospice Show. Tell us just a little bit about it. I know we can't get into a lot, but whatever you can.
Absolutely. Very thrilled. On January 31st, we're going to be meeting with Alan Henderson, which is a representative from Delaware Hospice, as well as meeting the core team of people that Steve uses through hospice. For those who don't know, Steve is enrolled in hospice 5 weeks ago, and we're going to meet his care team. We're going to meet his chaplain, his RN, his social worker, and his volunteer all at the same time. Plus, we're going to sprinkle it with some inspirational new music from some new talent that we have coming up. But I'm very excited to go ahead and shed light on this organization. They've been a great help and such a good source of strength. Actually, the chaplain and the volunteer were both present at our wedding that we had on Saturday. And I tell you, Victoria, for all those weddings that you've had all your family at, this was a wedding with 12 people, some of whom I've never met in my life. It was the most touching gathering, and yes, I'm thrilled to actually say that Steve and I are legally married now in the state of Delaware, so I'm really, really happy.
You and I have had many, many conversations over, at least over a year, where we've kind of, like everybody else, been sort of watching the news and wondering, you know, if it's going to pass, if it's not going to pass, and this and that. But I remember saying to you, you know, I don't care what anybody says about marriage, whether you want to be or whether you don't. The day that you have a ceremony, the day that, you know, a religious cleric or, you know, whoever you have, stand up there and recite those words, and you look each other in the eye, and you say what it is that you say. It's something that you just cannot explain. People say.
No, I was always one of those advocates for it's a stupid piece of paper. It doesn't matter. Blah blah blah. It's a commitment to one another. Yada yada yada. However, the word you used, Victoria, which is a fantastic one, is ceremony. It got to me when the ceremony part of it, because it's a ritual. I think it's a ritual for not only the straights, but for the gays and lesbian and transgendered and everybody.
And whoever,
It is the commitment to one another that I really was taken by storm, Vic. I didn't know I would be so moved by it, but it does matter, and it does make a difference, because once you stand up in front of all of your friends, my two Kellys and everybody else, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never scoff at the sanctity of let's say unionization or the union that forms as a result of it. I will use marriage now because I am married, but for however you one finds it or defines it, it is truly a blessing.
And
I'm so sad you couldn't be here. I just
say that because you know, as a journalist, just having the opportunity to cover, you know, don't ask me how I ended up covering weddings. I mean, you know, I don't know. I've covered every single thing possible. But something that always struck me about when I've always had to cover a wedding, whether it was Catholic, whether it was Baptist, whether it was, you know, a Hindu. I mean, I don't care what religious affiliation the two people were or who they were getting married. Everybody to me always said the same thing. They're like, Victoria, news lady, it is something about when you stand there and there is a religious cleric of or pastor or, you know, bishop of some sort, somebody, you know, who actually has that title, who is sort of a man of God, as you will, and you exchange those vows. I mean, they were just like, it's something about that ceremony that you can never ever explain, that just is just sort of has this sanctity to it that you just can't explain unless you've done it. So I always remember people telling me that.
Yeah, it's a quiet appreciation, a quiet understanding with, I don't care if you have 500 people. If you have 500 people and you're still doing the same vows, it's still private, because I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the bedroom that we got married in, but, you know, even if you're in a big cathedral, I have been to a number of weddings where I'm still moved to tears, but yes, there is something about that absolute acknowledgement, and I would use it as a surrender. It's where two people are coming together in the view of the good Lord and those friends around,
mm-hmm.
and it is a brilliant feeling, so I will have to say, I can't thank anybody enough for showing me wrong, because it does matter.
Oh.
It does matter to me. So I was a huge skeptic, Victoria.
Well, I know you were, and then of course when all of us saw you on there crying on the video, we were just crazy. And speaking of that, and I just added some more time to the show because I cannot let you go without us not having this conversation. You know, all of us were on frickin' pins and needles waiting for, I mean, like, it basically started with us at about 12 o'clock, at about lunchtime. We knew what was going to happen. And then as the time was getting closer, It was like all of us, all of your friends, all of your family, all of your At Home with Victoria followers, we all conversed on Facebook around about the same time. And all you could see were these conversations going back and forth, and, oh, they must be saying I do by now. And, honey, let me tell you, you could not have uploaded that video fast enough. We were like, what is taking so long, for the love of God?
I know. If I'm ever to get married again, what I would absolutely say is that I'm getting married at 8 o'clock, and then you'll have the video by 9. I didn't clarify that. So as I think a lot of people expected everything to be up at 8 o'clock and running live, which we really tried to do a live upstream. It just wouldn't work with the help that I had, and it was fantastic because it was shot by a girl from on intern leave from NBC, which was great. And so by the time we got married, the wedding ceremony was done by 8:30. By the time I got the 18 minutes loaded up on YouTube, it had gone in, and I was checking on Facebook in between, and just the number of people saying, "Where is it? I don't know. Something happened. Something's wrong. Oh my God! Something screwed up." You know, And then when we actually finally put it on, I didn't mean to go ahead and torture anybody, and I can't thank you enough for, you know, our little wedding got over 11,000 views on YouTube, so I'm really thrilled. But thank you to all those who waited. But yeah, it was one of those things where it's like I didn't actually, you know, it's my first wedding. What did I know? You know, it would take me, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes to go ahead and upload it. But I hope it was worth.
Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? It was everything that it was everything sitting there that I wanted it to be. Based on who Steve and Michael are. It was moments where it was funny, and then it was those moments unexpectedly where Steve started crying, and then you started crying, and it was great because both of you were kind of like, well, I didn't really expect to do this. So it was every single thing that we wanted it to be. Both of you look absolutely fantastic.
Well,
so yeah, it was everything that you know you wanted it to be. I was so antsy that I literally just kept cleaning up, and I'm like so completely a clean freak like you, so everything in my house is already clean. So I'm like, well, I'm gonna wash the floors. So instead of doing that, I decided to call Marilyn, Mar. So Mar and I were on the phone for at least 45 minutes or an hour, just to kind of release this nervous energy and talk about it. But I wanted to ask you this. You have had to, and Steve, that day or at least that evening or leading up to it. I mean, did you have any idea how many people? I mean, the outpouring of love that you were going to receive as a result of getting married and the support.
Of course not. I mean, I would think that a handful of people, you, Mar, Gina, Sandy, Taddy, would kind of give a hoot and a holler. But I was overwhelmed when I went back and noticed the amount of posts on Facebook and on Twitter, and it moved me even more after the situation because it was. You know, Steve slept most of the day. We tried to go ahead and rest him up. I was a nervous wreck. And you talk about you cleaning. I'm a nervous clean freak. So all of a sudden, the lights above the vanity were taken down and cleaned. I was cleaning light bulbs out of the chandelier in the kitchen and stuff. I couldn't busy myself enough. I couldn't wait till I could have a beer just to go ahead and calm down a little bit. And then I had the food coming. And plus, I mean, I hate to go ahead and say this, but everything became very legal and aware because I applied for the marriage license on Monday morning. On Tuesday, I got the confirmation. So from Tuesday to Saturday, we planned this whole little wedding, which I will have to say, Bridezilla sucks because there's no way someone should go that crazy over a wedding. Quite frankly, the whole thing for $500, that included the rings. And I got the rings at Kmart and Neek. Many of you know it as Kmart. But, it was more about the intense love that Steve and I have had over 13 years and having everybody who has been such a huge portion of our lives. Steve's very active on Facebook, and as am I. But having that outpouring of emotions, I love the fact that as the wedding video was scrolling, you guys were commenting on it, everybody, a whole bunch of people, and It was thrilling. For those actually in the chat room who want to know about Steve's top, Steve's top was actually a Versace top. Everybody's asking about a Versace top. Steve was...
Well, you know what's interesting about his top, of course, on the video, most of it, the video looked black and white. So we all thought that it was a black top. So it wasn't until when you, we started seeing some of the actual pictures, and then we looked, oh, my goodness. I mean, it was kind of like a royal purple. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was a royal periwinkle kind of a thing with a zigzag design from Versace, and he was actually underneath. Thank you, Gina from California, for his leopard fur slanket that Linda lent color to it. But it was lovely, and I may have to say, if I can, just David, the pastor, and fantastic man, and for us, Steve and I are very religious privately and very universal in thinking. So although we have huge respect for the Bible and adore our Lord and the Buddha and all forms of of religion, it was nice to have a ceremony that was tender to us and not being boring. You know, I've been to a number of Catholic funerals where it's like, God, after an hour and a half, seriously, get me out of there.
I said this to you before. I mean, the only way that I can describe him, which is not a sentence or word that will probably sound intelligent that a journalist would use. The only way that I can describe him is that he was the shit. I mean,
oh, he was.
Yeah. And this is
lady,
my first
have
time.
You just sworn on the radio?
This,
yeah.
I know. This is my first time ever using profanity on At Home with Victoria. So, you know, if I use profanity, then I must really, really, really mean it. I mean, he was absolutely just wonderful. I mean, he had that, you know, bit of sense of humor, but yet, you know, it was very clear that, you know, he's very dedicated and he takes his ceremonies very serious, let me just say that. He was excellent.
Oh, absolutely. And so it was really funny because he had asked me if he wanted to, would it be okay if he actually dressed in his traditional garb? And I said, I really don't care. And, you know, do what you want to, you know us and stuff. So he came into the house and he was wearing this, carrying this garment bag. And he went into the living room and pulled out the thing and he pulled out this gown. And I thought, wow. Miss Mary has a lot of gold lamé on that gown, I'm telling you. But he had a great sense of humor about it, and is super charming and absolutely delicious. And him and his partner actually been together for like 23 years, so it was nice to have one of the brothers marry two of the brothers. So it was delicious on so many things, and not at all. Not at all what I expected, Vic. I mean, seriously, I just thought, okay, we'll get through it and stuff. I had no idea. But you saw me cry at the Time to Fly organization, so, you know, some tears would be shed. I mean, really.
Yeah, but, I mean, of course, the Time to Fly organization, and we've had them on before, was something that was totally different. I mean, this right here was different because it was a ceremony between you and Steve and your God and your religion and what you believe and joining
right.
two together. And I just thought that it had even more so of a meaning considering that, you know, Steve is so sick in the care of hospice and that, you know, you through all of these 13 years, how many ever years that you have been there to take care of him, to support him, that he can stay at home and not, you know, sort of have to be farmed or shipped out somewhere else. But, yeah, so anyway, I can't talk about this anymore because I'm about to start crying.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
And of course, we can't have me crying on air. That's just
no,
whatever.
No, it's not pretty.
Yeah, that wouldn't be right. You seen me cry before, too. Yeah, so that would not be pretty at all. But anyway, I don't know if any of you guys are watching the Southern Republican presidential debate, but Newt Gingrich is on and Santorum and I think was it Rick Perry who dropped out of the race today? But,
yeah, what do you think of Rick Perry dropping out?
Well, I mean, let's just be honest. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that he wasn't winning and that he was going to have to drop out. I mean, I know Santorum probably at this point,
you know, he's probably surprised that he even started winning. So he's probably like, man, you know, I'm surprised I started winning. I'm going to go ahead and go for this. But it's interesting with Newt Gingrich because, of course, the big news out about him today was his ex-wife did an interview. I can't remember with what news organization, but she talked about the reason why their marriage apparently ended was because she wouldn't agree to an open relationship. So apparently, from what she says, his mistress at the time, whom he is married to now, he wanted to have a relationship with her and still be married to his ex. And his ex was like, no, we're not going to have an open relationship. This is not going to happen. So his ex apparently was speaking out because she was basically saying that she's tired, I guess, of him sort of trying to be this sort of quote-unquote moral person who, you know, is just so completely moral that he does nothing wrong when, you know, he basically cheated on his wife and had a relationship with another woman that he later married. But not only that, had the nerve to ask his wife if he can still see her and be married to her. I thought, wow.
Yeah, so I have to give him credit, though, for being such an honest Republican, because being, you know, usually open marriages usually happen in the gay world, and it's an understanding between the two people. Not that it's saying, not saying that it doesn't happen in, within the heterosexual world, but you got to have a lot of cojones to go ahead to your to your wife and say, hey, what about an open relationship? You know,
I don't know if he's supposed to be
a member of the moral majority, which I find so ironic.
Right, I know. Well, I think a lot of people are finding that ironic. Well, you know, but I did not read his comments to what his ex-wife is saying, so I don't know if he's actually saying, hey, yeah, you know, that's basically how it went down. She's telling the truth, and so what? Or if he's saying, well, you know, it really didn't happen that way. So to be fair to him, I haven't read his response or heard anything. I was kind of saw it earlier on the news and have been out the house all day. So it's going to be interesting when I get online or, you know, kind of start to read to see what his comments are to that. But with that said, it is time for you and I to go. We've got to boogie out of here, but I don't know if you're going to join me next week on the air. I guess it depends on your schedule. I'm having a big-time journalist on, Les Trent, who I'm very excited about. So you and I will be back next week. So thank you so much for calling in, love, and I'm going to end. What song should we end? I always play Kobe. What song should we end with?
You know what? If you can, go to Timothy Craig, One Small Miracle. Timothy is in the seas.
Okay.
It should be at the top of the thing, One Small Miracle, because I think all we need is
one small miracle.
I want to thank everybody in chat room. Gina Diva, California, guest 11633, guest 13891, guest 13894. Marby, fantastic producing up in the chat. And
Goofy Bones!
Goofy Bone, he was here, now he's gone. Now he's here, now he's gone. But good friend. Goofy
okay,
Bone
look,
up
I've
got
to play. I've got to play this song. Kisses goodbye. Thank you, everybody. Michael and I will be back next week.
Take care, everybody.
It's gonna take one small miracle just to get me through. Cause I don't know which way to turn or what more I can do. I must have tried everything, but does it mean anything? I must have prayed a million times for my sun to shine. There's gotta be a star in the sky for me to save me from this misery. It's gonna take one small miracle just to get me through. Seems I might have lost my way, or was I just left behind? Somebody send me a signal. signal. Somebody give me a sign. I'm reaching out with both hands. I feel like I'm running out of time. It's getting dark where I am, and I can't find the light. I must have tried everything, but doesn't mean anything. I must have prayed a million times for my sun to shine. There's gotta be a star in the sky for me. Save me from this misery. It's gonna take one small miracle just to get me through. Just to get me